Good morning. If you will grab your Bibles right now and turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we're going to be starting off in Ephesians 4. And I want to spend some time in a thought that when we go through these verses, starting in verse 17 through 20, don't really follow necessarily the context of the chapter, but bring an interesting thought I think we can look at this morning. So I'd like to start in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the frugality of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy practice, every kind of impurity." In verse 20, "But this is not the way you learn Christ." And I want to stop there. And again, like I mentioned, what's being talked here in this passage isn't really what we're following as a lesson today, but I really want us to focus in on this thought in verse 20 where Paul makes the statement, "This is not the way you learn Christ." And I want us to think about that thought. You know, we come together often to talk about Christ. We talk about the plan of salvation. We talk about what's expected of us. We listen to sermons. We sing songs. We go through the process of what a worship service should look like. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray. But sometimes it's good for us just to take that moment and step back and think about what we are to be doing. We need to step back and reflect on the lessons that Jesus gave to us as he walked on this earth. So the question this morning is, what have we learned from Christ? And if we think about that question, we know that this list will be extensive. And we don't have time to go through every lesson that Christ gave us. But these young Christian men this morning have taken time to go through some specific things that we need to learn from and the lessons we need to learn. And we need to make sure that they are visible and active in our life each and every day. So like I told them on Friday night when we came together, you guys aren't looking to hear from me this morning. You're looking to hear from them. So I'm just going to shut up at this point and let these young Christian men come up and present their lessons to you.
Good morning. Today I'll be talking about Christ's love and compassion. The definition of love can be found in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Let's go ahead and read that. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. "Love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, and does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account of wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things." These verses are a great definition of love. Now that we can understand what true love is, let's look at some examples of love. The first example can be found in John 13, 1 through 5, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This shows a lot of love and gratitude. Everyone did not have shoes, and if they did, they were sandals. Back then, they used to travel a lot, and it was mostly all on foot, so you can imagine how dirty their feet got while walking. Jesus doing this demonstrates extreme love. Nobody would have expected somebody as important as Jesus to wash their feet. Love is humble. Another example is the prodigal son. In that story, there are two sons and a father. One of the sons asks for his inheritance before he was supposed to get it. The father agreed and gave it to him. The son went out and spent all the money and went flat broke, to the point he was sleeping with pigs. He went back to the father expecting to be a slave or have to do work to pay him back. The son came back to the father, and the father was full of love and forgiveness. He rejoiced and prepared his best cow to have a feast. We should all strive to be like the father, to have loving and forgiving hearts. The last example of love is the greatest love, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. It is hard to think about how he loved the people that killed him, spat on him, and mocked him, but he still loved them. He even asked God to forgive him. This leads us into Christ's compassion. First, let's look at the definition of compassion. In the Oxford Dictionary, the definition of compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. In my opinion, the greatest example of compassion can be found in Luke 23:34. Let's read that. Luke 23:34. "But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments and among themselves." Now let's turn to Mark 1:41. Mark 1:41. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing to be cleansed." Jesus did not know this man, but still helped him. People with leprosy were very contagious and were not allowed to stay inside the city walls. Jesus was not afraid to be near him or help him. His compassion was an example to all around. Our next example can be found in John 11, 33-35. This is talking about the death of Lazarus. In these verses, Jesus is showing compassion by feeling despair for the loss of his friend. Being able to mourn with people shows that Jesus is human too and has feelings just like us. So we should follow his example and share his compassion with others. Our last example can be found in Matthew 14, 13-21. These verses talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000. The Bible said he had compassion and healed the sick, but then it goes on to be concerned about the crowd's hunger. Jesus was not just compassionate about the people's spiritual needs, but about their physical needs as well. In conclusion, we should all strive to share Jesus' love and compassion. Jesus makes it easy for us to understand through his example how important love and compassion are in bringing others to Christ. Let us all look into our own hearts and see how we can improve in showing Jesus' love and compassion to all the world around us. Thank you.
Let's turn to Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." During this, Jesus is on the cross in Golgotha with a crown of thorns on his head, also with nails in his hands and feet after carrying his own cross and being beaten to death. All he is thinking about is the people who have wronged him. That he was not angry or mad, he was asking God for their forgiveness. When they are beating him to death and while he is dying, he is asking God for those crooked people for their forgiveness. In this verse, Jesus is showing us his forgiveness. Jesus has forgiven many people for their sins. Jesus has forgiven the righteous of their sins. We need to thank God for this. When we are right with God and ask for forgiveness through prayer for our sins, he is willing to forgive us. He has forgiven us more times than we can count, and we can always count on him for forgiveness. He is our creator and redeemer. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful." In this passage, it is showing us his forgiveness. He will forgive any time of any day. He is our wonderful and merciful Savior. It shows us that he is willing to do that to anyone, even those who killed him upon the cross. He will purify us all of our unrighteousness. He is willing to do to get rid of all of our sin, not just the ones we know he will forgive us of, every sin we could do. He's willing to do that for us sinful people. In Micah 7:19, it says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea." He's willing to do that for us. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. That is showing us he is willing to get rid of our sins, and not just some of them, all of them for us. He is loving, kind, generous, and willing to forgive us for everything we will do. But only if we confess our sins to God, and he will forgive us.
Please take this time now to turn your Bible to Luke, the second chapter. This morning, we are going to look at Christ's example for us and how he lived his life while on this earth. Let's read Luke 2:41-52. Luke 2:41-52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The first thing I noticed about Jesus and being an example to all of us is at an early age, He knew his purpose in life, and that was to do the will of his Father. We see in our reading in Luke 2 that he was young in age, but was mature and wise, speaking to those around him in a way that they were amazed in what he said. What do we need to learn here from Jesus? We learn that at any age, we need to be spreading the word of God by teaching others that we come in contact with. We do this because we want to grow in his word and strive to be more like him. Also, we spread the word because this is what God expects us to do as his people. Some of the ways we can spread the word of God is by participating in Bible class, how we interact during worship service, and also how we exhibit our character every day while we are at school, work, or even at a sport activity. The challenge of spreading the word of God at a young age is that some people do not want to listen because we are simply young. But Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12 that at a young age to not let people despise your youth. Paul continued in the same verse to set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now bringing our attention back to the example of Jesus, I find it encouraging how Jesus leaves us an example on how we are supposed to pray. We find in Matthew the 6th chapter where Jesus teaches us his disciples what to pray for, but I want to bring our attention more to how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Please turn with me to Matthew 26, and we'll be reading Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Starting in verse 36, we read, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" I would like to point out the fact that Jesus is about to face the most horrifying and gruesome death ever experienced by mankind. Yet he still says in verse 39, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Right before Jesus was being betrayed by Judas, his own disciple, and eventually be hung upon a cross, Jesus was still faithful to God and said that it is not his will that God lets that cup pass from him, but God's will. He knew that no matter what trial he was going to face, he will always need to depend on God and talk to him through prayer. We all face trials in life, but we need to know that we are not alone and that we have each other as Christians to lean on. But ultimately, we need to lean on God by going to him in prayer and asking him to help us through our rough times. Sometimes we use prayer as our last resort when we realize we can't handle it on our own. But we need to realize that we should go to God first and he will never fail us. This morning, we use two examples of Jesus showing how we need to act. Although there are many other examples of Jesus that we could look at, I felt like these two that we looked at this morning are great examples of who Jesus was and how we should learn from his examples. One final passage I want to look at this morning is in Matthew 5. We'll be reading Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Let's read together, starting in verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." With knowing Jesus was our example, we also need to be the example to the world. We are told that we need to be the light of the earth, meaning that when people are around us, they see God by the way we live our lives. We need to strive every day to be the salt and the light of this world. Thank you for your kind attention, and I would like to end with a prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you sent your Son to this earth to sacrifice himself so that we might have a hope of heaven with you one day. We are also thankful that while he was here on earth, he gave us such great examples on how we are to live our life. He went through many of the same trials that we face today and was faithful through it all without sin. We pray that you will help us with our day-to-day struggles and that we always do the things that you would expect us to do as your children. Be with us through this upcoming week as we go to school and work so that we can be the salt and light of this world and bring the lost to you. Thank you again for the sacrifice of your Son, and forgive us of our sins as we repent of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
In John 7:16, it reads, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but it is his that sent me. Pay attention to the word doctrine. Jesus said it is not his, but it is his that sent me. He, or his, is God the Father, which means he has come because God the Father sent him. God wanted to teach us with Jesus. He wanted to teach us what? How does he teach us, and why did he come exactly? Reason one, the reason he came is to keep with the plan we read in the Bible. But why? Well, many people have been waiting for him because he was going to help the Gentiles to have the hope of heaven. Jesus taught while he was on earth in actions and words. Another way he teaches us is telling the disciples or Christians to write the Bible. Look in the books of the Bible. Just the names of some of the books have the names of the writers. The last way for right now is how he answers our prayers. Yes, I'm serious. If you pray to a fake God for food and you do not get food for a week, you fall away from that fake God and not believe in it. Although if you ask for food from the holy God and get food, you know he is telling you something. What is he telling us? That he is not a God that wants power, but a God that takes care of his people and us. But he would not give us all the things we want, but what we need. We know God teaches us now and how he teaches us, so we can tell other people about God the Lord and keep it in mind for when we forget how God teaches us so we do not fall away. We cannot go to heaven in the end if we do not know about God's teaching. Do not forget about God's teaching and always remember he wants us to know about him. Thank you.
Good morning. Today I'll be talking about Christ's salvation. Have you ever heard the story of Jesus? Really heard it? We're all coming from different backgrounds. We look different, have different jobs, different hobbies. We are different ages. But look around you. None of that matters. We are here for the same reason. We love Jesus. We want to learn all about him and how to be more like him. We want to worship him. The plan for Christ's salvation was in place before the creation of the world. Today, I want to tell you the story of Jesus. Like every good story, we have to start at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In John 1:1, we read that the Word was with God and the Word was God. That is talking about Jesus. Jesus was with God in the very beginning, and Jesus and God are the same. God created life, and it was good. God wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. He gave them beautiful things to enjoy because God loved them. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. Sin separates us from God. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, we'll be reading in verse 2. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Iniquity is a big word for sin. Adam and Eve could not be with God in the same way. The world was evil, but God gave it a fresh beginning. Things went from bad to worse. God found one righteous man, Noah. He built the ark. God protected his people who chose to obey him. God promised blessings to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. Now the Lord said to Abram,
Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, a beautiful land to live in, and through your seeds all nations of the earth will be blessed. God had to choose one family to have them be different from other nations. That seed would come through Abraham, would be the Messiah. Jacob's sons hurt Joseph, but God saved him and rescued them all. God used bad events in Joseph's life to help him save his family because Joseph obeyed God. God's people became slaves, but God rescued them through Moses. The kind Pharaoh that loved Joseph died, and the new Pharaoh hated the Israelites. After God sent 10 plagues, the slaves were freed, and Moses led them to freedom on dry ground through the Red Sea. God and Joshua helped Israel conquer their promised land, Canaan. Israel sinned and was punished, but God's judges rescued them. God's people made many mistakes. Do God's people make many mistakes today? Absolutely. The Israelites started behaving like the people around them. They would have to go be slaves. They would realize their mistake and repent. God would send a judge to save them. 14 times this happened. God took them back every single time. Israel wanted earthly kings, not judges. God chose David, and Solomon to rule. This wasn't what God wanted, but he allowed the people to be ruled by kings. Israel split apart, and God's people were punished for their sins. God's people chose to sin and separate themselves from God again. Prophets were sent to warn the people and beg them to make the choice to repent. A prophet was someone who spoke for God. Even when his people were captives, God sent heroes to give them hope. God never forgot his people and never stopped loving them and wanting them to repent and turn back to him. God guided his people back to the promised land. God brought his people out of captivity back to the promised land of Canaan. Through all these events, God was always setting the stage for the salvation of man. No matter what Israel or other nations did, God used it to prepare the way for his plan. God was silent for 400 years, but then the Word became flesh. Do you remember who the Word was talking about? Jesus. God's perfect plan is coming along perfectly. Jesus did the will of his Father. He taught and performed miracles. You can read about that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God's plan for our salvation was for Jesus to die for us. His blood was the only blood that could save us. Christ loved us so much that he willingly obeyed his Father. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Jesus was both man and God when he lived on this earth. Death was proof that Jesus was human. Resurrection was proof that he is God. Jesus beat death. He won. The Holy Spirit helped the apostles spread the gospel. Being a Christian requires sacrifice. Many of the early Christians risked or gave their lives to tell others about the gospel. Many in other countries do this today. The church is now God's holy nation. Before Jesus died, you had to be a Jew to be part of God's holy nation. Once Jesus died, that gift of salvation is open for everyone. You now don't have to be physically born to Abraham's family to become part of God's family. God has given us the recipe to follow if you want to be a part of his family. We need to hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We need to hear what God wants us to do and what he did for us. We need to believe that Christ is the Son of God, John 3:16. We need to repent of our sins, Acts 2:38. Repent means to change and do better. We need to admit, I am wrong. I am in need of a Savior. I can't do this without him. We need to confess with our words that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. We need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, 1 Peter 3:21. If we leave out an ingredient, the recipe is not going to turn out the way we want it to. God promises to live with us in heaven and keeps his promises. God wants us to live in heaven with him one day. God doesn't want anyone to be with the devil in hell. God doesn't want anyone to perish. I encourage you, if you haven't, become a Christian. Keep learning, keep growing, and just know how much God loves you and wants to give you this incredible gift. Thank you.
Well, thank you again for your time and attention. I had one more thing I wanted to share. But for time's sake, we're already running over. We're going to hold off until maybe another time. So I'll leave you in suspense there. But again, I appreciate the boys and the young men here that have taken an active part. And they, I'll tell you what, every time they continue to impress. You kind of expect at that age that they're going to speed up their talk and we're going to get through this a lot faster, but it didn't happen. I was going to fill in some time, but they do an amazing job. So I appreciate their efforts. And when you look around at these young men here on at front and even throughout the crowd, some of our young people, we've got a really special thing here. We need to make sure that we understand that and we look at that and do our part to encourage them. But I'd like to close out with a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes. Let's pray. Dear righteous Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your Son and his willingness to come to the earth to live as a pattern for us, and then ultimately give his life for the salvation of our souls. We know that we fall short and that we need your grace and we need your mercy on us. We pray that we take the thoughts from this lesson this morning to use your Son's pattern for us on how we are to live and how we're to strive to have that perfect life. Be with us as we strive every day to follow your word. Be with our young ones that they may keep your word close to them as they grow in their faith. And let us that are older be an encouragement to them and give them the opportunity to be an active part of your church so that they will continue the pattern set by Christ. We pray all these things through your Son's high and holy name. Amen.